Okay. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, wow. You fell asleep in that one, didn't you? Anyway, I had my notes all on a paper, and I've misplaced that. So that usually limits how long I talk, so I'm going to try and keep it down to an hour and a half. No. No, I misplaced my notes, and that's okay because, you know, it's good. And what we're going to talk about now is today's Easter. Okay, and what I want to talk about, what difference does the resurrection make?
Amen.
Okay, and if you go back and you look at history, and you look at what took place in along that line, Jesus had been building up to the point where he knew, he said, we're going to Jerusalem, and they're going to kill me. And he told the people right up, they're going to kill me. They're going to turn me over to the Gentiles, and they're going to kill me. And you know, Peter and them are saying, no, if you die, we're going to go with you. And he said, no, when this takes place, you're all going to scatter. And so the guards came and got him, right? Took him away, took him to the trials, all the things that they did. I've gone over this and seasons before. But everything that they did on that, what we call Good Friday, was basically against their own belief system. They weren't supposed to hold trials during the Passover. At that time, you couldn't give a death sentence because under their law, you had to wait 24 hours for mercy to set in when you did, and they didn't. They immediately went to Pilate. All the things that they did were contrary to their own beliefs. They were so upset with Jesus. And Friday came, they nailed him to the cross. And then it's like, okay, we've got to get rid of, you know, we've got to take care of this. And so then they said to the guards, you know, we don't want him hung on the cross during the Passover. Now, normally when the Romans nailed somebody to a cross, they left him there until they rotted and fell off. They didn't take care of him. And then if they did bury him, they threw him in a common pauper's grave with masses of people and just covered it up. And so here it is, they're coming, they say, you know, we don't want the bodies on the grave, on the cross during the Passover feast. So they would go and they would take a club or something, and they would break the legs of the people who were on the cross because the blood was tending to flow that anyway, cause blood loss into their legs, and then they would die quickly. So they broke the legs of the two criminals, but Jesus, they said, was already dead. Excuse me. He was already dead, and so they put him in the tomb. And they were celebrating, having a good time. But that was Friday. They didn't know Sunday's coming.
Amen.
Right? They didn't know. The disciples didn't know. Mary and them didn't know. They went to the tomb with heads down, sad. Who's going to roll the stone away? Okay? And they get there, and guess what? The stone's already rolled away. And they get told, no, he's not here. He's risen. And even then, it didn't soak in quite. Because they went and told the other disciples, and they went, yeah, right, uh-huh. And Jesus appeared to two guys walking on the road, walked with him, and they went back and told him, and they said, yeah, right, yeah, until we see, we ain't going to believe it. And so then Jesus appeared to him, okay? But again, what's so important about it? You know, I read a lot of stuff about the resurrection. One of the things that I read was about the empty grave. How important, you know, it was. And so, Lee Strobel, he does all this investigative stuff. So he went out and he went to experts about this stuff and asked them, you know, could this be a hoax? And all the experts said no. In fact, one authority even took it to Supreme Court judge in England and had him look at the evidence. And he said, if this case were before me, he said, I've had weaker cases before me with the witnesses and how early they are. You know, when we look at history, when you look at the accounts of the crucifixion, the resurrection, in historical time frames, they're very short times. They're very short times. And some of the early church creeds were based on the letters of Paul to the Corinthians. It talks about the resurrection. If you go to the scriptures and you look up resurrection, I found it 40 times. 40 different references to the resurrection. Came to life 57 times. When it talks about coming back, that returning, it's mentioned a lot. And so historically, the empty tomb is pretty much well documented because there were witnesses that saw it. The Jewish leaders went to the Roman people and they said, you know, they're going to come and steal his body. We need to make sure it doesn't happen. And so they said, good, go place guards. So they placed guards at the tomb and put a seal on it. Guess what? When the angels came, the guards went, they passed out. But this rumor was spread that they told them, they said, okay, you go tell the people that when you fell asleep, they came and got the body. There's only one problem with that. If you're a Roman guard and you fall asleep, you die. And they said, well, we'll pay off the governor so that you won't get into trouble. Well, they must have had a little bit of a hint that something was going to happen or they wouldn't have worried about the guards. And when they got into discussions, all they would have had to say is, what guards? But they made up a story. So the fact that the tomb was empty when Jesus went there is very well documented. Okay? So we're celebrating right now. You notice there's a cloth on here. That cloth represents his burial shroud. What they would have wrapped his body in when they buried him. Because they said it was there in the tomb. It was empty. And so that's why we have it on there. I love it on there. I love it on there. Because it's that symbol to me that, yes, that was an instrument of death. But with that cloth hanging on there, it's a representation of life. That those cloths that they wrapped him in didn't hold him. You know, that they're empty too. Okay? And I've told the story before, but one of my favorite stories about Easter was the teacher who passed out those little plastic eggs. And she says, okay, I want you to take these eggs home and, you know, put your favorite thing that reminds you about Easter or something like spring or something like that in it. And then bring it back. And she was a little worried about this one kid, you know, not too fast. You know, not anything wrong with him, but just sometimes didn't catch on to things really well. And so they got all the eggs and they put them on the counter. And so she'd take one, she'd open it and say, whose is this? The person would raise their hand and they'd tell about why, you know, why they liked the flower or whatever they put in there. And she got to one and she opened it and there was nothing in it. So she set it aside and went on. And she got to the end and the person, the little guy raised his hand. And he goes, you didn't do mine. And the teacher goes, well, it was empty. And he says, yeah, so was the tomb. So, you know, that's my favorite story. And I almost bawl every time I talk about it, you know. But it's really important when we look at what is the significance of the resurrection, okay? It's summed up pretty much in 1 Corinthians 15, 14, and 17. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then we have nothing to preach. And you have nothing to believe. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is a delusion and you are still lost in your sins. That pretty well covers it. Because if Christ didn't rise from the dead, he was a liar. Now some people say, well, he's a great teacher. Well, if he didn't rise from the dead, guess what? He's not. He's a liar. He's a fraud. But that's not the case. Okay, like I said, there's lots and lots and lots of evidence. Because Christ just didn't appear to like one person. Okay, over the next 40 days between now and Pentecost, during that 40-day time, Christ appeared to many people. At one time, Scripture says 500 at once. And Paul says, and most of those are still alive. Well, the significance of that is, what he's saying is, if you don't believe my story, the witnesses are right over there. If you don't believe my story about what happened this morning at breakfast, not that anything happened other than a lot of eating, okay? Go ask Gary. He cooked it. He saw it be carried away. Okay? And when we're done, go check the trash. The dishes are there. Okay? So you go, you know, thing, and that's what Paul's saying. He says, you know, most of them are still alive. So if you don't want to believe me, here's references. You go talk to them. You go talk to him. Okay? So it's very well documented in that light. In 1 Corinthians 15:20, it says, but the truth is that Jesus has been raised from the dead. He has been. He's alive. Okay? Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, great. So what does that mean? He's there interceding for us. Well, some things, okay? Because Jesus is alive today, first, his purpose is unchangeable. His purpose is unchangeable. Do you realize that God created the world? Anybody miss that point? Okay. Yeah. You know, yeah, if you forget it, there's the Bible on the chair. Okay. But God also created each one of you. Specifically, God knew what you were like before you were created. God put the gene pools together. I like one scripture that says, there are no illegitimate children, only illegitimate parents. Okay. Because you were created for a purpose. We've talked about this in the shape interview, how you were created for a purpose. You have a specific shape. You have spiritual gifts. Okay? You have a heart, a passion for stuff that other people don't have. You have abilities. You have a personality. Anybody here not have a personality? Okay? You have experiences. Okay? Now, I'm not saying you're always going to like the personality. No. You know, but you have experiences. And so when Jesus, that scripture we read in Hebrews says what? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he was alive before and real before, he's real now. And if he had a purpose for everything before creating it, that purpose still goes on. And because he's alive, he's still carrying out the purpose. It says that everything was created for him and through him. And he maintains it all. So guess what? Jesus is alive. The sun came up this morning. It's going to go along. The trees are going to grow. The grass is going to grow. We're going to have to mow it again. All those things. But Jesus is maintaining the earth. So we don't have to. Nobody has the light switch. Okay? It's all planned out. It all has a purpose. And it's continuing on just as planned. Part of that plan was the crucifixion. Because before even creating us, God knew how much we would mess up. How much I would mess up personally. And you know what? I think back to some of those times when I was so far out in left field. And I look at those times and it's like, you know, I can see God there in every part of it. Amen. And it's like almost sometimes in those times, God was there kicking me a little harder. Because I needed a lot more. You know, it was during those times that, like I told you, when God would put me on trips to California, not telling me why till I got halfway back. You know, but the purposes are still there. You still have a purpose for your life. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you and is still motivating you along that line if you let the Holy Spirit do it. Excuse me. John 10:10 says, Jesus said, I have come that you might have religion.
No.
What do you mean, no? Don't we have religion?
No.
Yeah, we do. We got a lot of it in the world. Yeah. We got a lot of it in the world. The problem with religion... One of the problems with religion, it has a lot of do's and don'ts. That's what it's based on. You do this and you will get closer to God. If you don't do this, you will get closer to God. Mostly don't do's. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't go to the movies, don't dance. There's been a whole bunch of don'ts through the years. Don't wear jewelry, don't comb your hair, don't dye your hair. You know, don't wear silk stockings with the little thing up the leg or without the little thing up the leg because it gets too sensuous and all that. You know, it gets into all those don'ts. Well, you know what? If Christianity was based on don'ts, dead people have it made because they don't do anything. You know? You get somebody who's paralyzed from here down. They don't do anything. The difference between somebody who's paralyzed and the person who's dead is that paralyzed person can still think. And you can think a lot of messy stuff. Because doesn't it happen in here first?
Yes.
Yeah. So Jesus didn't say, I came to give you religion. He says, I came to give you what?
Life.
And
life to
the fullest. Now, some of you are to the fullest. You had breakfast. Is that what he's talking about? No. Have life to the fullest. What's the fullest? The fullest that we can have in life is a relationship with God. The closer and the closer you can get to God, the more full your life is. It fills you up. Fills that void. Okay? Sometimes you're feeling lonely. You're never alone. But we turn away. It's one of those things when we have those times and we fall into one of those don't do this things, we tend to turn our back because it's like God's really hacked at me and I don't want to look at it right now. And it's us. It's not God. God knows the mess ups. You know? That's why Jesus came to clean it up. You know? John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
Amen.
You know what that's basically saying? How many of you would like to skip judgment? The rest of you really want to go through judgment? It's kind of like the story of the guy who dies and he gets up to heaven and he goes into the room. And there's a lot of people milling around and there's a guy over there and he's announcing. He says, hey, look, we're really backlogged today. We don't have time to judge anybody. So here's the two doors, heaven and hell. You choose, go. You know? And the guy, he goes, no, I demand that you judge me. He says, no, I don't have time. You just take the one you want. And the guy bows his head and walks through the door marked hell. Because inside of us, we can't sometimes get past that. We still think we're being condemned. And that's not what Jesus came for.
Amen.
Jesus came that you might have life and have it to the fullest.
Amen.
That you may not be condemned. Want to skip the judgment? Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Because it's by grace, not by works. By God's good grace and love. And it tells us Jesus' purpose is there. What's Jesus' purpose? To sit at the right hand of the Father and say, hey, that's Jay, my friend. The perfect one. And Jay's going, yep, through Jesus I am.
Amen.
Yep. And then the next one comes along and says, well, there's Kelly. No. She wants a hug, you know, okay? So God, Jesus is alive. His purposes have not changed. Same purpose. Still working on plan A, which is getting you back to God and me, okay? Second, his power is what? Still
awesome?
I can say, I don't think I put awesome on there, did I? But it is. But his power is still available.
And it's awesome.
And it's awesome, yeah. His power is still available. And you know what? In this world, have you ever noticed that there's a lot of things about power on television? What's that one show? I can't stand the guy. Trump. Who? The Apprentice. I mean, it's like a power struggle. And how big of a creep can you be? That's what a lot of them are, isn't it? Is this power? We have power drinks, Powerade. You know, remember a few years back we had power ties. Okay. You know, but it's like, you know, this big thing about power. Well, Jesus' power is still available. Okay? And it's kind of like the guy who was on death row. And he calls for the chaplain. He says, chaplain, I need some comfort. I'm being electrocuted tomorrow. And the chaplain goes, more power to you. You know? Okay, not all of them are good, all right? Never said they would be, okay? But it's like power. Jesus still has the same power today that he had before. And it's still available. What did he say? Ask. You'll receive. Ask anything of the Father, and I will do it for you.
Amen.
Still sitting there. He still has that power. But a lot of times we feel powerless about a situation that's taking place, about a relationship, about finances, about all kinds of stuff. Okay? Celebrate recovery. What's the one of the things you've recognized in that, in the celebrate recovery? That you are powerless.
Amen.
That you are. And you have to put your trust in what?
God.
Now, in the AA, they say in a higher power. In celebrate recovery, it's like, you know who the higher power is.
That's right.
You know? You don't have to find a doorknob or a tree or something as a higher power. You know who your higher power is. And when you face things and you do things, you do it through the power of Jesus Christ. Do we believe in that power? Yes, every Sunday downstairs. They have a prayer meeting, a prayer group. They get together and they pray because there's power in that. Who are we praying in? We're praying in the name of Jesus Christ. You don't pray in my name. If you did, you're in big trouble. Okay? If you look in your packet that you handed, were handed out, you got a little pink or white or some color card that has your information on it. But if you turn it over on the back, there's a prayer request place. You fill it out. You put your request down. You put it in the plate. The plate represents giving stuff to God. Getting rid of it. Taking that load off. Okay? And so when you put that prayer request in that plate, you're saying, God, I trust you. How many have put things in there and had their prayers answered? Okay, look around. That's a lot of prayers that are being answered.
Amen.
And that's just those of you who, you know, recognize it. Sometimes we get prayers answered and we don't even recognize it. You know, I've done that before. I've been praying for something. And, well, and let me tell you, sometimes I had to change my prayer. Because I was telling God what to do for somebody. I was telling God what to do. And then one day I went, you know, maybe that's not the right thing. So, Lord, I'm going to tell you the problem and let you take care of the answer. And guess what? The answer was much better than what I thought of. God, I wonder how God did that, you know? So his power is still available. Ephesians 1:20. I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power. Now, who's his power? It's God's. Okay? How incredibly great God's power is to help those who believe him. The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. We get that power through Jesus Christ. But it's ultimately God. Because God's the one that raised Jesus from the dead. But did Jesus have the power? Yeah. I have the power to lay it down, take it up again. Okay? Philippians 4:13. I have the strength to face conditions by the power that Christ gives me. We face situations that are just awful. That just suck. You know? Sean and Bill went through one. When Bill's niece died. 24 years old. But you get the power to go through it. You get that power. Third, his promises are still reliable. They're still available, yes. But they're still reliable. There are over 7,000 promises in Scripture. 7,000. I dare you to go through and find them all. And if you want to try it, there's a Bible right there someplace on the chair, okay? 7,000 promises, and they're still reliable. How reliable is a promise? It's as good as the person who makes it. If the person who makes the promise is a flake, guess what? Probably the promise is too. But God isn't a flake, and Jesus isn't a flake. So those promises that Jesus and God made are still available. and they're reliable. If I give you a $3 bill, guess what? You ain't going to spend it. It ain't happening. Because, it's as phony as the giver. Okay? Because if I make it, that makes me a phony. Okay? 2 Corinthians 1:20. He carries out and fulfills all of God's promises, no matter how many of them there are. All the promises, 7,000 of them. But the problem is most of the time we don't go look for them. We rely on our own understanding. We don't go to Scripture and say, oh, God promised this. This. And we don't do it. Or we don't think that, well, you know, I've asked so much that I've probably used up my quota.
Whatever.
You know, yeah, whatever. Get over yourself. You know, it ain't, there ain't no quota. There ain't? That's good English, isn't it? There ain't no quota. Okay, 1 Peter 1, 3. We have been born again into a life full of hope through Christ rising again from the dead.
Thank you, Lord.
One of the biggest taboos about things to talk about is death. People don't like to talk about death. And you go to a lot of cultures and so on. Okay? When we were in Taiwan, I mean, they were burning money to send to their relatives who were dead so they'd have money.
We still do it in our society now. We say somebody passed away or somebody...
Yeah. You know, but they passed on, you know, and you know, it depends. I took a psychology test one time, and there's all this stuff they put you through, and this one place you come to what they call a wall, and you have to describe the wall, and then when you get through, you have to tell them how you're going to get to the other side. Well, how you describe the wall is how you picture it. When I described the wall, it was a big rock wall. Now that sounds awesome. I mean, oh, this must be really tough. How'd you get that aside? Oh, I just jumped over. Part of it was broken down. I just jumped over. And it's like, you're not afraid of dying, are you? And it's like, no. Because when we realize that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that's going to happen to us, and that when we croak, that's not the end. It's just going through a door. Now, one of the things I have to admit, I get a little afraid of the door. You know? I mean, I don't want to be ran over by a Mack truck and on a ventilator for 16 weeks before I die. I'd just soon sit down and go to sleep. You know? So sometimes we get a little bit afraid of that door, that passageway that's going to take us from here to there. And we don't want to talk about that. But, I hate to tell you this, but every one of you have a terminal illness. It's called life. And eventually, that part of your existence will run out. But guess what? This is just the body. This ain't you. I use that word ain't a lot, don't I? This isn't you. This is just your body. Your spirit lives inside, and the Holy Spirit lives inside with you. And so when this part gets laid down, you go on. And you talk to people who've had near-death experiences. How many ever talked to somebody who had a near-death experience? Yeah. Is that ever frightening? No. No. I've talked to people. We had a lady at the hospital I worked with was in a car accident. And she died. They brought her back. And she said she went up there and she was given the choice. You can stay here or you can go back. And she says, I had a 13-year-old daughter. And I decided to go back. They revived her. And she talks about it. She says, I saw him working on me. She described it. And they went, yep, that's what was going on. Years later, she related the incident. She was talking to some people in the hall. And I overheard as I walked by. And she was telling them about how she made that choice. And she said, I don't think I made the right choice. And it's like, whoa. Because she looked at what had happened in her life since then. She says, I don't think I made the right choice. You know, a lot of times in this life, we don't make the right choice. But that's part of the power of Jesus Christ. And that's part of the promises that there's nothing that won't be wiped out. Jesus didn't come to make you feel guilty. Can't take away the guilt. Yeah. He didn't come to you know, rub it in. He came to wipe it off. You know, because we're going to make mistakes. We're going to have things that go wrong. That's just the way life is. But there are promises that are in there. And one of those promises is that when your Friday comes, there's a Sunday. When your Friday comes, there's a Sunday. And Jesus made that available to you. Okay? And there are, some of the promises. I mean, there's 7,000 of them that's up there in the book. But a few of those select promises. Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. My God will meet all of your needs, not wants, but your needs. Sometimes we think we need a lot more. One of the books I was reading in the back, the author has gone to a lot of underworld countries and taught. And he talks about how he went to a place in China. And there it's against the law. So they sneak in. They will take hours for the people to assemble because one person will go in and then they wait. And they wait. And they wait. And then another one goes in. So it's not obvious that they're getting together. And they'll be in a room with no furniture, one light bulb hanging in there. And they have their Bibles out and they're studying for hours. And he went to this one country and he said, what can I do to help you? And they said, we want a Bible study. We want you to teach us about the Bible. And he says, what part? And they said, the whole thing. It's like, the whole thing? He goes, yeah. He says, well, I'm only here for a week. That's okay. We're farmers. If our crops have to die, they'll have to die. And so they got together, and for a whole week, they're 10 to 12 hours a day sitting on a floor. I was like, are you kidding me? Sitting on a floor, just starving. And sometimes we complain because this meeting runs an hour and a half. And we have chairs that are a little too hard. My derriere gets a little flat, you know. But you know what? That's why we sing songs, isn't it? Stand up. Yeah. Let's stand up. You know, if the weight's getting too heavy, stand up. Ease your pain. You know? But it says, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious, his riches in Jesus Christ. The next one, John 5:24. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life.
Thank you, Lord.
Just believe it. You got eternal life. And he will not be what?
Judged.
Again, there's one of those things where you get to skip judgment. You know? I love Tony Campolo. He was talking about how he grew up Catholic. And he had this vision that when on the day when he died, basically when judgment came, he was going to be standing in a great big huge like football stadium with a jumbo screen up there. And his mother sitting beside him. And they were going to be showing everything he did wrong in his life. And he says, then he found Jesus Christ. And he realized that all the things he did wrong are wiped away. So it's going to be a very short story.
Amen.
But it's all going to be the good. All going to be the good. Because Jesus wipes all that junk away. That's one of the promises. Okay. He will not be judged. But has already passed from death to life. We've already passed from death to life. What does scripture tell us? That we were buried with him in baptism. And we were raised again.
Born again.
Yeah. And you know, the best description I ever heard of that was, an example, okay? Susan goes down, she robs 7-Eleven. And she takes off, and she comes down here, and she's hiding. And the police come. So they're coming in the background. She's going that way, and she falls down those stairs. And she tumbles down to the bottom and breaks her neck, and when they come in, they find her dead. Do they arrest her? Why? She's dead. Or if you got a guy who's in prison, he's sentenced to die. He's going to be hanged. And an hour before, he dies of a heart attack. Do they hang him?
No.
Why? He was sentenced to be hanged. Because he's already dead. And that's what Jesus did. You died with him. Amen. Scripture says you were buried with him. And you were raised to life with him. So, they didn't arrest her. Because she already died. Well, in this case, she didn't fall down the stairs. She fell into Jesus Christ's arms. And so you skip that judgment. And you are passed from death to life. Romans 10:19. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, you confess with your mouth. Does that have to be a honking big long confession?
No.
In reality, you know, we don't embarrass the people around here. We don't try and guilt trip you into anything. When worship through giving comes along, one of the things we tell you, if you don't not doing it with a happy heart, don't do it. If you can't do it joyfully, don't do it. The thing is, you accept Jesus Christ. You can accept Jesus Christ in your heart right now if you haven't done. If you're on that edge and you're teetering, it's like, well, I don't know if I trust God to be my Jesus to be my Savior or not. How many of you have been there? You know, I did that. Because it was like, you know, I was a missionary up in Canada and I saw some people and it's like they were what we call Jesus freaks.
Yeah.
Okay, the closest thing we have is Kelly. Okay? You know, but that's not bad. You know, that's not bad. But, you know, I went through that. I was like, I don't want to be no Jesus freak. Guess what? I don't care anymore.
Amen.
Freak away. You know? But, you know, the thing of it is, we get changed, and sometimes we're afraid of changing. You know, we get changed. And we're going to be saved, but we're afraid that we're going to be changed in such a way that people around us are going to think we're obnoxious or whatever. Well, guess what? You can be. You can be. I mean, we're sitting here in church, and Kelly's going, "Yay, Jesus!" Now, if she's doing that on tracks going home, okay, people are going to look at her, and they're not going to get a good impression of Jesus Christ. You know, yeah, they're going to take her off to the rubber room, you know. But, you know, that's it. We decide what we're going to do. You can be a quiet Jesus freak. You know? We come in all kinds of different shapes, sizes, and forms. You know, God never made us all the same for a reason. If he made us all the same, we'd be really bored with each other. Okay? Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. How many of you have seen that picture where he's knocking on the door? What did you notice about that picture? No doorknob. He can't come in. You have to let him in. I stand at the door and I knock. He invites you to invite him in. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him. Wait a minute. Shouldn't that be I will come in and judge him? I will condemn him, pick him to part? No. I will fellowship with him. So I'm going to go over to Jay's house and I knock on the door.
Come in.
Jay invites me in. You know? And some people have this really squirrely idea what that means. Because it's like, if I invite Jesus into my life and let him be Lord of my life, that's when he's going to zap me and make my life miserable. That's when the rules are going to get laid on. But that's not what happens. He says, I come in and I fellowship. We had worship through eating this morning. We had breakfast. Because you are also undernourished. We have to meet your bodily needs. That's why we're going to have dinner right afterwards, because I'm sure some of you didn't get enough. You know? Isn't that right? No. Why do we have breakfast? So you guys can sit and fellowship with each other. Get to know each other. Share each other's dreams. Share each other's passions. Get to know what's going on in each other's lives. But too often we're superficial. We don't. One of the things that happens in small groups like the Celebrate Recovery, you expose yourself in a good way. Okay? You don't become a flasher, you know? But you expose yourself because the things that are in here, you let them out. And they become so they're not embarrassing. You have something that happened in your life and you were embarrassed. Well, guess what? That's gone. Because you fellowship with Jesus. And you've let people into your life. So that when something happens, I can go over to Dan and I can comfort him. Or if I know Dan's having a situation, and he's in a situation where I know that that's one of Dan's weaknesses, because he's expressed it to me. I have trouble with this, and I see that. That's when I can reach out and say, hey. I have friends that I know go into depression cycles. And so I know. And so those people, when I don't see them or I don't hear from them, it's like, you know, hi, what's going on? Because they're my friends. Can I do that with everyone? No. But maybe you can. But Jesus is there. Jesus says, I'll come in, I'll fellowship with you. Do you ever need to feel alone?
Never.
Never? No. But we choose to. We choose to look at that negative part. There's nobody around. I'm all alone. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're alone a lot of times. But it's in here when it makes a difference. If you focus on that negative junk, yeah, you'll be alone. Doesn't matter how many people are around. Doesn't matter how many people. I had a friend that was suicidal. And I asked him about that. I said, don't you realize how many people love you? He says, when I'm in that mode, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. Doesn't matter. But somehow the cycle has to get broken. Jesus is the way. So I don't know where you are in your walk with Christ, with God. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to do it right now. Doesn't take a lot. You need to say it in your mind, Lord, I know that I've messed up a lot in my life. I know that there are things that I've done wrong. I know that I need to be saved from all that junk. I accept you. See, you don't ask Jesus to be your Savior, because he already is, amen, whether you recognize it or not. The atheist down the street, Jesus is his Savior. Amen. He don't know it. But he is. But I invite you into my life to take control, to change my life. Make it different. And if you're not sure, say, you know, I'm not sure. I don't understand all. How many of you fully understand all of this? Thank you for not raising your hand, you know, because I have you up here, you know, because I don't understand it all. We can't. But to the best of our abilities, we do it. And you know what? God makes up the difference. Amen. God makes up the difference. Now, when you came in this morning, you got your little packet, okay? And you got this thing, okay? 10 reasons to get spiritually connected. And I'm going to read each one of these word for word. Not, okay? You'd be bored out of your mind. And we would be here forever in a weekend, okay? But you look down these. There are 10 reasons to get spiritually connected. One, connections are the essential essence of life. We were created to be connected to God and each other. Okay? We were created for connections. Oh, I just said that, didn't I? We were created for connections. What is the first thing after God made Adam? What? Man was not meant to be alone. There wasn't anything created at that time that was suitable for a companion. Okay? Three, love is the ultimate connection. Love is the ultimate connection. Four, connections help us to understand life. Because you know what? I can't experience all of life by myself. I have no idea what it's like to live in Florida. But I can ask Gail. You've been there, right? Yeah. I don't know what it's like to live in the Philippines. I can ask Conrad and Andrew. Okay? They help us understand life. Connections empower us. We talked about that. That connection with Jesus Christ empowers us. Connections keep us growing. We learn and grow from each other. Connections help us balance our lives. Because when I get out of balance, I need somebody to tip the scales. Okay? Connections increase our confidence. Connections make us more productive. We have to learn to connect. That's the one I want to hit with. We have to learn to connect. It's not automatic. Connecting with God is not automatic. There's a lot of things we have to learn. Because we have a lot of things in here that tell us we can't. When we can. And we have to get over them. Now, you also got a little book by Max Licato. Max writes all kinds of stuff. I've got some in the back about people who wear dots and stars and have stilts and all this other fun stuff. But this has specifically to do with Easter. Okay? He did this for you based on John 3:16. This little booklet, each one of you got one. If you didn't, be sure you get one on the way out. But I think there's some extras back there. Now, if you have a friend, family member, or somebody along that line that you know can benefit from this, you take them, okay? That's why I got them. Now, if you completely understand this, take it home, read it, look at it. If you take it home and you're not going to read it and look at it, give it to somebody else. That's why I gave it to you. You probably understand it. If you do, then this book is not for you. Because you've stepped past it. But give it to somebody else. That's why I got them. Okay? There's Bibles on the chair. There's this one. This is a large print for us that are getting along in years. Okay? You have the full Bible looking like this or like the other one. The print in here is really tiny. But it's all there. And there's one that's really thin. It's not sitting around here. But it's the New Testament, and it's small print. But this one right here, we just ordered five or six cases of these, and we're going to order 5 or 6 cases more. Okay? But again, if you have people that don't know this story of Easter, that don't know of the resurrection, it's in here. You take it, and you give it to them. You have this. You take it and you give it to them. We handed out the 40 days. How many of you read your 40 days? How many of you finished it? I got one day left. Today. If you didn't read it, I encourage you, pick it up and read it. Because it doesn't have to be read just before Easter. But it's a wonderful way to go into your scriptures every day. Because it takes those scripture verses and it puts them in simple English, like Jesus was talking to you. There's still a few back there. I think maybe 5 or 6. If you didn't get one, get one. Okay? And I encourage you to look at it. Because it tells us and helps us in our understanding. Because we don't understand it all on our own. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you a lot of it. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to leave you alone. That's not his purpose. Jesus' purpose, or God's. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you for this Easter celebration. Celebration of your life. Celebration of our lives with you. And Lord, our walk with you. When we can understand, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your purposes never change. Your plans never change. You never take your power away from us. And you want that fellowship. And so help us to remember. Your plans are unchangeable. Your power is still available. And you still have the same purpose. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.